have this opportunity. It's all to the glory of His name. If you'd like to read with us, we'll read a few verses in the book of Romans, chapter 5. Seems like no matter how much we look, we've not been able to get out of Romans for a pretty good while. And that's just all right. Romans chapter 5. And I'm going to read a verse and skip down and read a few more just for the interest of time. Not saying that one portion's more important than another at all. But in verse number 12, we'll read, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now if you'll skip down with me to verse 18. "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That is, sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Maybe that's all we'll read. But thinking about now 13 through 17, those verses, they're in parentheses. They're an additional thought that's being added. He's going to expound a little deeper. But, you know, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world." So that guilt of man and the sinfulness of man, that can be traced back to a point that began. God created Adam, and He made Eve, and He placed them, the Bible says, in the Garden of Eden, and He placed them there. Now, He gave them a job. The Lord took man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So that was the direction that was given to man, to Adam, and really to all of mankind. And so they were there to dress the garden, and they had one commandment from God: don't eat of this tree. Well, I believe we all know how that went. We know what Eve did. We know what Adam did. That they disobeyed the commandment of God, and there sin entered into the world. Right. When there was only two people, and the first two people that ever was, sin entered in. And now you think about the reign, the rule of sin. What kind of a rule? And the Bible says here in verse 12 that sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So from that point of Adam and Eve, Cain that was born, he was born sinful. We know that. We've got evidence of that. Cain's children, generation after generation, after generation, nations were made out of the blood. Noah came and his three sons, and nations were made out of his sons. But you know, over and over and over again, sin conquered, sin ruled, and sin reigned over mankind. And there were good men, but sin ruled over the good men as well. Sin ruled over Moses. Sin ruled over Abraham. Sin ruled over Daniel. Sin ruled over Job. Sin ruled over David. And any good man that you'd like to pick out of the Old Testament, sin ruled over them. And you know, Job, well, the Bible says Job was perfect. How can you say that sin ruled over him? Well, Job died at some point and they buried him. He's not still alive. So sin and death came from Adam, and all of the world became sinners from that one man's action. And you know, the gainsayers today would say, well, that's not fair of God to make everybody sinners because of one man's transgression. But God's all-knowing, isn't He? God's all-seeing. He's omnipotent. Do you not reckon that God knows if I was put there that I'd do the same thing? That if you were there, you would do the same. And I believe us having enough knowledge of our own self and of our own nature and of our own will, you put us in that place where Adam was and we're going to do the same thing and we're going to think we're going to get by with it just as they did. And so sin and death by sin came into the world. And you know, the Bible says here, you think about the law. Well, this was before the law. Yes. Noah and the destruction of the world was before the law. Mm-hmm. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was before the law.
Right.
And we've got record. Adam died. Mm-hmm. Methuselah died.
Right.
Seth died. Cain died. We've got record that death reigned even before the law came from Moses.
Yes.
And so, the Bible says of that. Now, was there sin? Sin was still reigning. Yes. They may not have broken the commandment that Adam broke. They may not have sinned in the same manner, but there was sin, knowledge of sin. Man was guilty of sin,
amen.
And man still died from sin. And so you think about now the numbers, and you know, if you've ever looked into history at some of the kingdoms that's been of the world and mighty nations, and recently, I guess, the U.S. and Britain in the years past, some mighty nations that covered a lot of territory and had a lot of people under their rule and under their authority. Well, what about the kingdom, the rule of sin? Every man and woman that's ever been born has been a servant and a slave and under the rule of sin.
Yeah, right.
They were born into that kingdom by the lineage of Adam.
Right.
That came from that one point. It's not that I can help it or not. It's not how I'm going to be raised. I'm born a sinner.
Amen.
I'm born. And you know how we can tell that? If I had a chance to do otherwise, then surely there'd be somebody out of the billions and billions and billions of people. Surely there'd be somebody that could make it a few years without sinning. But you know what we see over and over again? And you listen to parents, and you, maybe you've had children, you've seen other people's children.
Bless
you know what man always is? He's born rebellious.
Yeah.
And he's born to rebel against authority. It's ingrained in him. Before he ever knows what he's really doing, he's born to rebel.
Yeah.
You know where that goes back to? To the fall of man in the Garden of Eden when sin entered in. So you think about the consequence that breaking the commandment the first time had. Mm-hmm. There's what, 6.8 billion, I don't know the number exactly, billion people on the earth right now. So if you went back to Adam and you were going to add up, how many people have there been? They've all been conquered by sin.
Yeah.
And death has taken every single one of them.
Right.
All of Adam's race has been taken by sin because of one man's disobedience. And now, I'm not saying God's going to cast me into hell because Adam broke the commandment. I'm going to go to hell if I do because of my sin and my guilt. But we're born a sinner because of what Adam did. That was inherited in us. And our free will, as you like to hear about today, was to sin and rebel against God. That was my free will choice. And that was the only choice that I could make. And that was because I was born a sinner because of what Adam did in the garden. Now that's what the Word of God's telling us. By one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That word sinned there, it means to miss the mark and not share in the prize. So it's like an archery contest. And you've got your target and you shoot and you miss the mark and you don't win anything. And so, man, what's the mark? The mark is the standard of God's perfection. And you know, some may be closer than others, and I don't mean that wrong in any way, but in our view and in our thinking, some may be closer to the mark than what others are. Some may be so far off, why, they're not even worth even looking at. But the truth is, every single person has missed the mark of the righteousness of God. Sin has conquered them. And you know, well, I'm a pretty good fella. But I don't work when this is the mark. Have you been able to hit the mark that God set up? Have you met the standard that God set forward? Well, I tell you, if you miss the mark, you don't win the prize.
That's right.
If you miss, then sin has conquered you.
Right.
And so, by one man. And so down in verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. So that word condemnation, it's an adverse sentence or verdict. Man was brought into condemnation because of the sinfulness of Adam and the resulting sin of man from him. So that, now what hope is there for man? Do I have hope that my children are going to be born and that they're going to be raised and maybe they're going to hit the mark?
No.
You know what I knew? I tell you, if we'd have thought about it, and may very well have, when they first came through the womb, I could have held them in my hands and said, I know that they're not going to meet the mark that God set forth.
Right.
We know they're not going to be perfect. I know that they're going to disobey me. I know they're going to go against what I say. You know why that is? It's because man is sinful.
Yeah, right, yeah.
We don't have to look for a reason as to why our world is like it is. As to why our families are like they are. Sin has conquered and taken all of mankind. And sin's ruling over them. So, the Bible says this in verse 14 here. I didn't read this. But in the last part of verse 14, had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So the figure, the die, stamp, scar, statue, or resemblance. So Adam has a resemblance to the one that was to come, Jesus. Now, how can they resemble? Here's Adam that fell, and the whole world's dying. I mean, I thought about this as we studied this afternoon. In Madison County, if we could go and count every grave that there was in Madison County, how many would there be? And every place that you go, every community, every city, every town, they got a place to put their dead, don't they? They do. So how can a man that caused all that be a figure of Jesus? So Adam was created. The Bible says he was a son of God. God formed him out of the dust of the ground. God breathed into him the breath of life. And God gave him a commandment to keep. Adam broke that commandment. Adam did not keep the directive of God, and sin came upon the whole world, upon all of his race. They fell into sin because of what he did. All of man was made sinners because of his actions. Now Jesus, he was the Son of God. He was a created and formed. And I think we ought to make this clear. This is big for my mind. Jesus was not created. He was the Word. The way the Bible tells it is He was the Word of God from before the foundation of the world, from eternity past unto eternity future. He was the Word. He was with God. And He was God. But the Word was made to be flesh and pitch His tent among us.
Right.
So the man now, the man Jesus Christ, he come out of a womb.
Right. Yeah.
On a day that we've got in time in the history of this world. That man began to live in this world on a certain day and time. But that was not the beginning of Jesus Christ, of God, or of the Word of God. So that He was made to be flesh. He was born into this world, and He was a man. He had a body. You know the way our bodies are formed? Right. They're formed in the womb of a mother. They're made there, and they come out of a woman as they are. Jesus had a body that was formed inside the womb of a woman just like you and I.
Right.
But you know how I was conceived, and you know how you were conceived? You came out of a woman just like Jesus, but there was corruptible seed that caused us to be formed.
Right.
It was from one of Adam's race. It was Adam's seed that was planted in the mother, and it was a son of Adam that was born forth out of the womb. Jesus wasn't born of corruptible seed. He was born by the overshadowing of the power of God and the Holy Ghost upon Mary, and they told her that holy thing. He's not going to be born of a seed of man. He's not going to be of Adam's race. He's going to be God, and He's going to come from your womb. God planted incorruptible seed in Mary's womb, a virgin.
Right.
The miraculous conception, as it's called today, God overshadowed her, an incorruptible seed was put in her, and out of her womb came a man that was God. The Word of God was made to be flesh and lived among mankind. Now, what Word of God was that? That was the Word of God that said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
Yeah.
It was the Word of God that came to Noah and said, "I'm going to destroy the entire earth with a flood." It was the Word of God that came to Abraham and said, "Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many nations." Ain't it something that the Word of God told Abraham, and the Word of God was going to do it? He said, "I'm going to make you and the Son of God that come through His lineage and through His seed." That Son of God was the one that made Him a father, not of Adam's race, but of a totally different race. A new race. So Adam's seed, they all died. They all inherited his sinfulness. But this God-man, this figure, Adam was a figure of Him. He was born into the world incorruptible, in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now that don't mean He had a body that was like mine. No, he had a body that was mine, but without the sin.
Yeah.
He was perfect. He was a human being that was perfect and pure and holy and that conquered sin, that conquered the desires of the flesh, that conquered the temptation of Satan. You know, all of man that had fell victim to sin, and I say this, it wasn't hard for the devil to draw man into sin. It's not hard, is it? It don't take much to draw us away from God, does it? It doesn't take much to draw us away from how we ought to do and what we ought to say and how we ought to live. No, I tell you, man's conquered. The flesh of man is conquered by sin. But this man, Jesus, was different. He wasn't of Adam's race. He didn't inherit Adam's curse. He was born perfect of incorruptible seed, and He conquered sin, and He conquered the devil. In this life, before He ever died.
Right.
He conquered it and lived perfect, holy, and pure. And I can say that and say that with a surety, knowing nothing about what He lived from the time He was born till He was 12 years old, other than a brief little account. Knowing very little of how He lived from the age of 12 till 33 when He began to preach the gospel. I can tell you He was perfect because they laid Him in a tomb one day and they made it as sure as they could. And death could not... The Bible says that He escaped from death because He could not be holden of it. Death had no victory over Him because He had conquered the sin that had brought it to be in the first place. He was perfect, pure, and holy. And this man, just as the first Son of God, who in Corinthians was of the earth earthy, Adam, just as he failed and cursed every member of his family, every member of his lineage, and every single person in his bloodline, this second man, Adam, who the Bible says was the Lord from heaven, that's right. Jesus, he came and he brought a new race, and all that are born by him are conquerors over death, hell, and the grave through his work and sacrifice. So the Bible says, I believe we can see where we're going now, that as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. That word means acquittal for Christ's sake. And so Adam, who brought this curse on all of his family, Jesus, his perfect life, death, and resurrection, made way for all of man to escape their servitude to sin, made a means for man to no longer be conquered by the devil. And you know who it is? It's them that are born of him. All that are born of Adam are going to die. All that are born of Adam are going to sin. Well, I say this, all that are born of Jesus, they're going to live by the Spirit of God, and they will conquer death in the very end. Came upon all men unto justification of life. So that the curse now that Adam brought by his disobedience, the second man, Jesus, completed and fulfilled the will of the Father. Yes. Listen to what he says. And if you ever think that the Bible's not worded perfectly, listen to what Jesus says, John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. And we could look at many other places where very similar things are said. But do you know what Jesus came to do? He came to do the will of the Father. Amen. He came to complete what God desired Him to complete. He came to finish the work. You know, Adam's work, it was never finished. And it could never be finished. Man could not do it any longer. No. But this man, Jesus, came to fulfill the perfect will of God and to complete His plan to undo what Adam did.
Right.
You see, that's what He's working to do. He says this in John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Now, what kind of works has the devil got? And you know, you might look at our natural land and come up with a lot of different things, and all may very well be true. But you want to boil it down to what the devil has and what he's seeking to keep. It's people.
Yes.
Men.
Yes.
And women. Yes. And boys and girls. He may have all of these things in our world, but the design of the world is to keep them in sin, in deception and in lies, and in unbelief of the Word of God. It's people that He sought after, and He's built up year after year after year lies and deceit and false narratives and false sayings and false religions and lies that people have believed and passed on year after year. Well, you know, the Lord Jesus came to undo all the work that the devil had done.
Right.
To destroy the work of the devil. You know, the work of the devil for me, he had me deceived.
Yeah. Yeah.
Believing that which was so far from the Bible, it wasn't even funny. And yet I thought that what I believed was the Bible.
Oh.
Ain't that the truth?
Wow.
I believed I was saved by the Bible. The furthest thing that there could be from the truth, I was like Paul, the chiefest of sinners, but I thought I was saved and all right. But you know what the Lord Jesus done? He come by. And you say, well, it wasn't the Lord Jesus. Well, it was the Word of God that done it. And He is the Word of God. The Word of God came by my way one day and He destroyed all of the work that the devil had done. And you know how long that had been building? For my entire life. I had from my raising, from my friends, from society, from my own mind. I had formed opinions about things. I had thoughts about things. I said, I'll never do this. I won't do that. And you know, God came in a moment and He destroyed all of the work that the devil done. You know how He could do that? Through Jesus Christ. That as by one man, sin came upon all men. This man, Jesus, came so that man could be acquitted, be free from the curse of Adam, and have victory over sin. Victory over sin. For as by one man's disobedience, interesting word, it means inattention. Disobedience because of inattention. Adam knew what God said, didn't he? By what I see, he must have told Eve what God said. So Adam knew. And the Bible says that he was not deceived. But you know what he did? He didn't pay attention to what God said. And he ate the tree anyway. It was disobedience, inattention, that brought about disobedience. And so by one man's disobedience, many were made to place permanently or to designate. Man was designated as sinful on that day.
Right.
Man was that day designated as sinful and sinners and wicked, and everyone that came out of the womb was made to be sinful, but so by the obedience of one, the attentive hearkening or submission. So the Lord Jesus came, and you know what He did? He willingly submitted Himself to do the will of God. And now that sounds good, and that sounds easy enough, but you know what the will of God was? That He would overrun sin in His life, but that He would go to the cross and suffer and give His life that man could be saved. I believe I preached here last time we were here that He humbled Himself to death, even the death of the cross. So that Jesus came and humbled Himself to accomplish and fulfill the will and the plan of God. Remember, that's why He was here. He was here to work the work of God, to fulfill God's purpose in a means of bringing redemption. By the obedience of one shall many be made righteous, equitable. Now, did I do anything to inherit the curse? I didn't. I was born into that.
Right.
The corruptible seed that produced me brought me under the curse immediately. So what about the righteousness? What am I going to do to inherit that? Nothing either. You see, this birth, my natural birth, I didn't have any say-so as to when I was going to be conceived. I didn't have any say-so as to who my parents were going to be. Didn't have any say-so as to what country that I was going to be born in or where we were going to live. Didn't have any say-so in any of that. Who determined that? Mom and Daddy didn't. They didn't know me till I was born. Right?
Right.
That's right. That's true. I believe we can swallow that. Well, what about the spiritual birth? Did I have any say-so in that? Well, by the Word of God, again in the Gospel of John, chapter number 1, the Bible says that they gave them power to become sons of God, and they were born. I'm going to turn and read it, or I'm going to really mess up the quote of it, and I sure don't want to do that. And they which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Right.
And in just a chapter or two over from where we are in chapter 5 of Romans, you'll read that it's not of him that willeth,
right,
nor of him that runneth, but of God that sheweth mercy.
Right.
So I was brought into Adam's race, whether I knew it or not, and I didn't know it. Well, God brings them into the kingdom of His dear Son and sets them free through the free gift of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It was unearned.
Right.
It was unmerited. I gave Him no purpose to save me. I didn't give Him any cause to redeem me. I didn't give Him any reason to speak to my heart. But God chose one day to reveal His dear Son in me, deliver me from darkness, convince me of sin, and save my soul. And it's all because of the work that Jesus did. All of men are sinners because of what Adam did. Well, all of them that are saved are righteous because of what Jesus did. I can't look and say, well, now I've done this and this and this that's good, and that helps me to be righteous. No, when I say I'm righteous, I'm going to have to realize that I am righteous solely because of what the second man Adam, my heavenly Father, did while He was here.
Yeah.
I inherited it. It was given to me. My sin was given. My sin was inherited from the deed that Adam did. Well, our righteousness is inherited from the work that Jesus did in giving Himself on the cross, that our sins could be purged and that we could be righteous.
Amen.
A free gift.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Many shall be made. It's the same word. Designated or set permanently. So God is plucking people out of a permanent place in sin, and He's setting them in the kingdom of His dear Son, and He's setting them there permanently. See, there's not moving back and forth continually. Man's got that in his mind that, well, I've done this today. As so-and-so did this, they must have lost it. And they must have fell out. That's not the way this works. You see, the way it is you got Adam's race here. If this is a book of Adam's race, you can write on the cover of it, sinful.
Yeah.
Wicked. There's none good in the book. There's none good in the genealogy. There's not one that's kept the law. There's not one that's hit the mark. They are all together sinful.
Right.
We know that. Well, then there's the book of Jesus Christ. Is there not a book?
Yeah, there is.
The Lamb's Book of Life. And you know who's written there? Them that God has plucked from sin and set in the redemption of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know who's at the head of that book? We can read the genealogy of Jesus. You can read it in Luke, I believe. And it goes all the way back to Adam. Adam was the head of that lineage.
Yeah.
What about this one? Who's the chief cornerstone of the spiritual kingdom and of the Lamb's Book of Life? I tell you who it is. It's Jesus. And you can trace it every bit back to Him. You trace it back to Him spiritually, it ain't too hard. Because I was set lost and undone, and the Word of God came to me in the year 2008, I guess, and spoke to my heart and saved me. But I tell you, you want to follow it naturally. You can do that too.
God bless you.
I can't go very far back. But he was preaching when I was saved.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Sprinkle was preaching when he was saved.
Mm-hmm.
There was a man preaching when Charles Sprinkle was saved. And you just start going back there. If we had it wrote down, you could go back and you know where you're going to wind up. You're going to wind up with one of the 12 apostles of the Lamb of God.
That's right.
More than likely Paul the Apostle. But you're going to wind up with one of them. And do you know who called every one of them men? The Lord Jesus Christ called them everyone. He is the head of this family. And He's the reason that there's people that's saved by the grace.
Right.
He's responsible for it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was a sinner, and I couldn't help it. I was made righteous, and I couldn't help that either.
No.
The truth is, I couldn't help it. All I could do was negative. All I could do was harmful. All I could do was sin. I had several years to prove it. And I did. And I did over and over and over again. And I said, well, I'm going to do better. I'm not going to do that again. And I did it again. Have you ever heard this before? I bet we've all said it. I'll never do what they've done. I'd say most of the time we've done it.
Yeah.
Though I said I'd never do that, yet we've done it. You know what we are? We're failures.
Yeah.
Sinful and wicked. And you know what we need? We need to rely on somebody other than ourselves. Well, the free gift was provided that all those under Adam could be made free from their sin and have life in Jesus our Lord. Shall many be made righteous? Not get righteous. Not gain righteous. Not earn righteousness. But they're going to be made righteous by the work of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. So we already talked just a little that there was sin before there was law. There was. And we can look in this book that there's sin just by the natural conscience of man. There's right and wrong in the mind and in the thinking of natural man. And so the law entered not to make sin.
No.
The law did not make sin. Sin came from Adam. Sin had been in the world years.
Right.
We know from Abraham to Moses was 430 years. Sin had been years before the law. But the law entered for this purpose, that the offense might abound. To be or make more, to increase. So do you think that when the law came, the world got worse all of a sudden? See, that's not what he's saying. A lot of people think preaching makes them sinful. That's not what happens. No, we're sinful already. You know what the law came to do? The law came to highlight my transgression.
Right.
The law came to reveal to me what sin really was. The law came to reveal to me just how far that I had missed the mark. It was there so that I could look at the law and be guilty and realize my guilt. If there's not a standard, then we're going to wind up, and honest to God, even with the standard, we still wind up there. But just like Solomon wrote down, that every man is right in his own eyes. We've got a standard though. The law entered that I could know better. That I could know that I missed the mark. That the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. It super abounded. Over top of sin. And now we're not saying, and you know we could read there, but I don't think there's any need. I'm just going to say this. It was not abounding that I could be free to sin and feel good about it.
Mm-mm.
He makes that clear in the next chapter. But where sin abounded, you know, it doesn't matter how wicked that people are. It doesn't matter how wicked that our world is. It doesn't matter how dark that it is in the thinking and in our side and in our view, the grace of God is able and is always able to superabound over top of sin.
Yeah.
The devil has no place of victory whatsoever in the kingdom of God. Paul said he was the chief of sinners. I believe anybody that's saved thinks that about themselves. I do. I believe that. Because, why? Because the law entered and God showed you what you were. You got to see through the law and the Holy Spirit the what God saw when He looked at you. But you know the grace of God, as far down as the law pushed me, as low and desperate as the law took me, as guilty as I was in my sin, as wicked as I felt in my heart, I remember sitting in the church house and couldn't stand up at altar call and was holding on to the bench. I can remember being that guilty in sin, but you know the grace of God was able to overabound that weight of sin and remove that from me. There's no victory for sin in those that are in Jesus Christ. And I say this, the world may go, and the United States may go, and it may be dark, and it may be wicked, but the grace of God is still able to more abundantly abound over sin, over darkness, and over death. The victory is in the Word of God. It may look like the victory's on the other side today. That's not the case. That's a lie that the devil promotes and would like for every one of us to believe. He would. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So we've talked a little about the reign of sin. It reigned, didn't it? Well, as sin has reigned, so in the same manner that sin reigned from Adam all the way to today, that grace could reign by Jesus Christ through righteousness unto eternal life. So just as when I was in darkness and when I was in sin and sin ruled over me and had me under its power and, honest to God, caused me to rebel against the Word and against the truth, the devil was my master and he was leading me along. And me thinking I was doing what I wanted the whole time. That's what man thinks. Man thinks today that he's free to do as he wants. And the truth is, he can't stop sinning. He can't. If we're free to do, then stop it. And don't sin at all between now and tomorrow night at this time. It's true, ain't it? Are you free? We're not free. We're not a bit more free than anything that's ever been bound up. No, I was a servant to sin and to ungodliness and had no say-so in the matter until the grace of God came, more abundantly abounded. You know what that sounds to me like? Sounds to me like that strong man that was armed and keeping his place, but there was one stronger, more abundantly strong than him that came and done away with him and spoiled his goods. Grace came, cast the devil out, and you know who's reigning now? The grace of God. The influence of God in the inward man is now reigning in my life through righteousness. My God, the church can stand up tonight. If you're saved, you can stand up and say, I meet the mark of God in Jesus Christ. We do. Them that are saved, they're righteous. They're justified. The public declaration of righteousness through the work of Jesus, that grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life. That word means perpetual. Never ceasing, continuing forever through future time. And so, in them that are saved, they receive a life that is perpetual, never ceasing. And if it ever ceases at one point or another, if it's possible that it can cease, then it's not eternal, is it?
Not.
You see, it was mentioned in Sunday school this morning about Abraham and the covenant that God made with Abraham. God didn't covenant with Abraham. It wasn't like this. The bank says, I'll give you the money. You say you'll pay me back over 30 years, and we're both going to sign and get the deal done. God said, I'm going to loan you the money to get the job done, and you don't have to pay me back. I'm going to give it to you on my account. Abraham never signed the contract. God said, I'm going to produce redemption. God said, I'm going to bring it through you, whether you like it or not.
And he did.
In spite of man, the grace of God reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. What God gives can't be lost. It cannot be lost. I don't read anywhere in the book that I ought to be concerned about losing it. You know what my concern ought to be? Whether I've ever had it or not. That's the way the Word of God reads.
Yes, sir.
They went out from us, not that they lost their eternal life, but they went out because they never did have eternal life. You know who was still reigning? Sin was. Adam's race. They were never made a part of the spiritual Israel.
That's right.
By Jesus Christ, our Lord, the only way that any of it is possible is through the work